Welcome to a special edition of Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall.
Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
La-di-da, la-di-da.
He's looking at you, kid.
Let's put a smile on that face.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
That's right, Dorothy, and here's the good news. We wouldn't want to be in Kansas this weekend. If you're a film lover, then Baltimore is the place you want to be for the next 3 days. The 18th annual Maryland Film Festival is underway. This morning, a guide to the festival with director Jed Dietz, Washington Post film critic Anne Hornaday, and three filmmakers whose work is being screened at this gathering. It shines an international cinematic spotlight on Maryland. Lauren Wolkstein, Zach Clark, and Marilyn Ness on what the festival means to movie makers and movie fans. Gil Sandler has a Baltimore story. A special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem starts right after these headlines.
I'm producer Rob Sivak. To catch the news, you'll need to listen to us live on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday mornings at 9 o'clock on 88.1 FM in Baltimore and Frederick, 106.9 in Ocean City, and streaming online at wypr.org/listen. Now, on with the show.
Thank you, Mr. Tackett. Good morning, everybody. On 88.1, it is Maryland Morning, a special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. The 18th annual Maryland Film Festival kicked off Wednesday night with a program of short films. The festival continues until Sunday night with the closing film Hunter Gatherer, and between now and then, there are a whole lot of movies to choose from if you decide to go. Now, you can't see them all, so you got to make some tough choices. This morning, our special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem is designed for folks who want a few ideas on what to see. So joining us, as they do every month, are Anne Hornaday, the film critic from the Washington Post, who joins us from the spacious offices of the Washington Post this morning. Good morning, Anne. How you doing?
Good morning. Fine, thanks.
And Jed Dietz, who for some reason seems to have nothing better to do in the middle of the Maryland Film Festival than hang out with me and Anne. He is here in the studio, the director of the festival, the founder of the Maryland Film Festival. Good morning, sir.
Good morning. I love hanging out with you guys.
Well, we love hanging out with you, but there must be something going wrong now at the festival that you're supposed to be dealing with.
I'm just assuming. I just get in the way.
I'm a fatalist, so I'm assuming that, you know, there's problems. Problems that you should be dealing with, but we're glad that you're avoiding your problems, and I'm also pretty good at that. But later on, we're going to be joined by three of the filmmakers whose work is being screened this weekend. Lauren Wolkstein, Zach Clark, and Marilyn Ness will join us in a little bit. So, Jed, let's start sort of with the film festival by the numbers. How many movies this year, and how does it compare to other years?
About the same size it's been the last couple of years. So it's 120 movies. It's about 70 plus shorts and a 50 plus or minus features.
Yeah. Remind us how these movies are chosen. You have a whole committee of folks that come together to decide, because all sorts of people submit films to you. I mean, of the 120 that get picked, I mean, there are, I don't know how many hundreds that get submitted.
Yeah, we get, well over 1,000 submissions. We also scout other festivals. The season sort of starts for us in September when Eric and Scott, our two programming guys, go to Toronto. And then we go to Sundance and we scout Slam Dance, which is a small festival that takes place in Park City at the same time, and then South by Southwest. But in the meantime, we're paying attention to last year's Cannes because of things coming into the marketplace now. There's some great documentary festivals like True False and Full Frame, AFI Docs, Hot Docs. I mean, we pay attention to those. There's a series called New Directors that Lincoln Center and MoMA run that we pay attention to. And then we get lots of advice from filmmakers who are pointing to work they're working on in progress or other filmmakers they know that are have films in progress. And we see chunks of things as they're being made. So
yeah,
it's a year-round process. There's a screening committee that goes through the submissions. I think this year was 25 people. It's sort of between 25 and 30 every year, a very diverse group of people from our community who go through all the submissions. And we always look for the things that Eric or Scott or I are the most passionate about, and and then try to have a program that shows the audience the whole horizon of what's going on in filmmaking. All these films, of course, haven't come into the market yet. You're getting them, you know, before releases.
Right.
And it's, you know, with a couple of archival exceptions, of course, John Waters pick in the Alloy.
And that's the Alloy Orchestra. We'll talk about that a little bit. And Anne Hornaday, you are an aficionado of festivals. You go to, I guess, to Toronto every year. You're on your way to Cannes this Sunday, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Is there a particular vibe about the Maryland Film Festival that's different than Cannes or Sundance or Toronto or, you know, Tribeca, any of the other big festivals that we're familiar with?
Yeah, I mean, it's much more intimate. It's much more. What I have always admired about the Maryland Film Festival is that it cherishes the filmmaker. I mean, it's very filmmaker centric. Jed and his team really go out of their way to treat the filmmakers well, which isn't the case at all festivals. You know, sometimes if the festival's focus is more to be a market or to be sort of a publicity launch, they get kind of caught up in the hype. But here, it's just all about the filmmakers. And I think what that translates to is a feeling with the audience that they're in a really special, intimate space where they're able to really not just see the films, but interact with the people who make them and really get an insight into their creative process and engage in a substantive, meaningful dialogue. And so that, with the sort of surrounding geography of Baltimore's burgeoning Station North Arts District and the fabulous restaurants that we are going to show off over the weekend, it's just a fun. It's a good hang, you know. It's just a really, really good time for, I think, the artists and for the filmgoers.
Yeah. And of course, Jen, next year at this time, the Parkway Theater will be complete.
Yep.
If you get your act together and finish the building. But this year, you know, the festival is spread out. I mean, it starts at the Walters Art Museum down in Mount Vernon and up Charles Street to the BMA, over to the Single Carrot Theater, a few blocks, you know, over on Howard Street. So it's all over the place. And as Ann mentioned, there are wonderful restaurants and stuff to do in between. That's also, is that unusual that the venues would be as spread out as they are here?
No, that's the norm for film festivals. I mean, you know, Park City, Utah, which is where Sundance takes place, the whole community and then some is enveloped by the festival. They have, you know, it's a huge undertaking. They take over all the existing movie theaters and then create many more, like in a basketball court.
Yeah, because one of the things I like about the program for the Maryland, I mean, the physical program, is it gives you walking times between venue A to venue B. So as you plan your day, I want to see this movie here. It might be at the BMA. This other one's at the Single Carrot. This other one's at Mica. You know, you can calculate how long it's going to take you to get there. And, of course, you walk past all sorts of fun people and fun places on the way.
Yeah, and run into people you've just seen at a screening the day before and all that. That's very much part of the festival experience.
So let's talk about a couple of the big events at the festival. Every year, John Waters introduces a film. This year, he's chosen a film based on a play by Terrence Rattigan. It's called The Deep Blue Sea. It's got Rachel Weitz. Is that how I say her name? She's a beautiful woman smoking a cigarette in the poster for the movie, and she's looking very brooding. So I'm hooked. I'm hooked already. You know? But how does John go about the choice of choosing his films? Because they're all over the map from year to year, aren't they?
I have no idea how he does this. He's picked a film every year. I think of the 18 he's chosen, I had heard of two of them
before
he chose them.
And it's not like you don't know anything about movies, too. That's right. Even he's finding things that you've never heard of. Yeah,
exactly.
That's
funny. As you pointed out, I mean, very eclectic array of film. The one consistent theme, or one of the consistent themes that's very important, is these are very purposeful picks. John is a real historian about film. He has a great eye for film, a very unusual eye, no surprise. But and he always has fascinating things to say. This film stands out in its incredible art. I mean, it's a beautiful-looking film. It takes place in London in World War II, I mean, just post-World War II in the early 50s. So the rubble of World War II is still part of the London scene. Which, for those of us who weren't alive at that point, it's sort of stunning.
Yeah.
And the performance, Rachel Weisz won many, many awards for this performance, deservedly so. All the acting is terrific in it. And it'll be fascinating tonight to see what John says about why he chose this movie.
Yeah. And Anne, what can you tell us about the director, Terrence Davis? Is that how you pronounce
Davis
it?
Davis is pronounced.
Even though it looks like it's Davies. Yeah. But he's certainly a pretty well-known character in the film biz.
Oh, yeah. He's a British director who makes these. I mean, this is a beautiful film. I remember reviewing it when it came out. I think one of his greatest strengths is the way that he evokes memory and the way that he kind of addresses memory in all of his work. He's done some amazing personal documentaries about his own youth growing up in that era in England, and they're just, you know, the term tone poem is overused, but they're very poetic and lyrical and poignant and kind of almost painful, you know, in terms of just the way that he evokes the time and his own personal growth and his own personal issues with identity. So this is more conventional because it is based on this other work, but he kind of infuses it with all those values. It's just a beautiful, it's gorgeous to look at, too, and it's just really pretty, which is always nice.
Yeah, some of the times John picks films that are pretty old. This one, not too old, is about 5 years old, came out in 2011. And it's one of those things that I guess the film community thought these are great performances, great craft, great directing, but it didn't make that much of a splash commercially. So,
exactly.
Yeah, so that's a great, great reason to hang out at the festival. And that is going to be screen, when is that, tomorrow night?
Tonight
at 7 o'clock, the John Waters pick, The Deep Blue Sea. Okay, we've got lots more coming up. Jed Dietz is the founder and executive director of the Maryland Film Festival. Anne Hornaday, the film critic for The Washington Post. The 18th edition of the Maryland Film Festival is underway as we speak. We've got lots more ahead about the festival on this special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. Stay tuned. Coming up, we'll meet two filmmakers whose work is being featured this weekend, Lauren Wolkstein and Zach Clark. Join us in Studio A after a break for the news.
If you want to join in on the conversation, go to our website, wypr.org/Maryland Morning, and make a comment. We'd love to hear from you. You can also check out our audio archives there and learn more about what you just heard, or even make a pledge to support local programming. Again, that's at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Now, back to the show.
Welcome back. If you're just joining us, this is a special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. We're talking about the Maryland Film Festival, which opened on Wednesday night with a program of short films. That program was hosted by two of the filmmakers whose work is featured in this year's festival, Lauren Wolkstein and Zach Clark, and they join us in the studio. Welcome to you both. Good to have you here. And joining me along with Lauren and Zach is the festival's founder and director, Jed Dietz. Anne Hornaday is the award-winning film critic for The Washington Post. She's on the phone with us from Washington. So, Lauren, tell us about the movie that you've got here in the festival. It's a really interesting project. It's called Collective Unconscious. And you're not the only director involved in this project.
Right. So the film that I have here is an anthology of short films that are all... There's five filmmakers, and each film is an adaptation of another filmmaker's dream.
Another filmmaker's dream.
Yes.
So you collected dreams, and then you assigned everybody to film the dream?
Right. So the person who came up with the whole concept is Dan Schoenbrunn, who produced the entire film, and he chose the filmmakers. He handpicked us and said, submit a dream statement to us, to him, of your dream, and it should be a tweet length. And so we submitted a tweet length statement of a dream that we had, and then he assigned us somebody else's dream and didn't tell us whose dream it was, and we were able to have complete creative control over how we would adapt.
So this is not like, you know, Make America Great Again, American Dream. This is a dream yeah. you had while you're asleep, right?
Yes, and
this
a
is
literal
one of
dream.
Those kind of dreams,
yes.
right? And did you know whose dream you were shooting? And did the person who shot yours know that it was your dream?
I had no idea.
All right. Until
the films were actually shown in their rough cut stage.
So in other words, you had no, and they did that purposely, I guess, to make sure there's no influence of, you know, oh, I know Lauren's personality. Therefore, if I were Lauren and sleeping and dreaming this, then right. I would see it this way.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And what are some of the, are these fantastical, wild, wacky dreams?
Or yeah, they're really crazy. There's some, the filmmakers are a wide variety of different types of filmmakers involved. So there are two dance films. It's interesting how the dreams kind of go from the beginning to the end. It starts off as very dreamlike and lyrical and poetic, and then it goes into, there's like midpoint, it becomes like an anxiety dream you're watching, and then by the end it feels like a nightmare. Hopefully, yeah. That's the trajectory that we wanted to have.
Anne Hordaday, it's interesting. As a musician, this project reminds me of a composer who is decides to write a fugue, because a fugue is a particular musical form, and you've got to pay attention to the rules. You have to come up with a tune, and that tune has to be in the tonic to begin with, and then when that tune comes the second time, it has to be in the dominant, and then there's stuff around the tune, little episodes that happen around the tune, and then you've got to get back to the tunes in the beginning. But by the end, you have to be back in the same key you were in the beginning. And it seems like the composer is being handcuffed in that, you know, she's got to live by all of these rules. However, of course, there's no two fugues that are the same. I mean, it's the invention that it takes to write a fugue is enormous. Is this setup here, Anne Hornaday, with five different filmmakers sort of being, you know, somewhat pretty specifically focused on what they have to shoot? Is that a normal thing? And have other good films come out of that?
Oh, well, normal. I don't. I mean, everybody has limitations, you know. And I think limitations are often, like you said, they can sort of seem like shackles, but they can really liberate you. I mean, they can liberate your imagination and really jumpstart something. So, but this kind of commissioning, I think Dan's project of commissioning these, you know, having the idea and then commissioning these films. And then packaging them in this—that is not normal,
yeah—and
is absolutely wonderful. I mean, I admire what he's doing so much. And you know, we had as the other great thing about the Maryland Film Festival, by the way, is this conference that Jed convenes at the beginning of every festival, where the filmmakers get together in a room and just talk and share their experiences and ask each other questions and get advice. And I'm one of the lucky few that get to kind of eavesdrop on that encounter. And from what I gathered yesterday from Dan is that he's really, you know, part of this project is developing audiences for these filmmakers so that they have every bit as much of a brand identity as Captain America, you know, within their own community. And I just think that's exactly right. It's a great approach. It's a great way to think about filmmaking right now and artistry and creative endeavors, and so I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah, well, as you say, this is a festival that's all about the filmmakers, which is great. That's Anne Hornaday. She's the film critic for The Washington Post. She's on the line from The Washington Post. Jed Dietz, the founder and director of the Maryland Film Festival, is with us, along with Lauren Wolkstein and Zach Clark, two filmmakers who hosted the short program that began the festival on Wednesday night, and who each have films in the festival. So, Zach Clark, welcome, and tell us about your movie, Little Sister.
Yeah, so Little Sister is set in October of 2008, and it's about a young nun who lives in Brooklyn, who returns home to her family in Asheville, North Carolina, because her brother just got home from the Iraq War, more or less. And she was very goth in high school and is staying in her high school room, and her brother is sort of living as a recluse in their home. And they connected over sort of metal music and goth music in high school, and she starts reappropriating that persona to get him to come out of his shell.
Although she has since sort of progressed from the goth world and is now a nun.
Correct. Yeah, well, she's a novice, technically not a full-fledged nun quite yet. And I also don't know that I would say progressed. She has shifted.
Yes.
She's shifted from one to the other.
I'm sounding like an old father, aren't I?
Yeah. It's very fluid.
My daughter's through her goth period.
Yeah, I don't. And part of the movie is that, you know, those things never leave you. You know, you'll sort of all, you always keep a little bit of your former selves in you.
Sure.
And those things help add up to who you are today.
Now, yeah. October of 2008, that's about a month before the election of Barack
Correct.
Obama.
Yes.
Does
yeah.
politics
yes.
make an appearance?
Yeah, I wanted to make a, for all intents and purposes, political movie with no politicians in it, you know? And I was thinking about the sort of themes of family, really, and sort of about the hopes and dreams that parents have for their children and the sort of faith and trust that children have in their parents. And I don't know that there is a better metaphor for that than putting your faith and hope in a candidate, you know, to then have them become a regular person.
And here we are in the election season
yeah,
again.
Yeah, sure,
just
sure.
in time yeah, for the yeah. conventions.
Yeah, yeah, I don't know about regular person this time around.
And so, Jandice, before we the time slips away from us, I want you to tell us a little bit about the closing film of the festival. It's this piece called Hunter Gatherer, evidently a first-time filmmaker, Josh Losey.
Yes.
So what's this movie about? This is going to be Sunday night. And by the way, I should say that Zach Clark's movie, Little Sister, tonight at 10 after 10 and Sunday afternoon at 1:40 for those screenings of Little Sister.
So I would say this theme of parents and children is something we see a lot in this festival for some reason. Morris from America, Little Men. I mean, it's very interesting to see this. Obviously, no collective conscious in this category. So the closing night film is called Hunter Gatherer, as you said, first-time filmmaker who had worked with David Gordon Green, a very good and well-known independent filmmaker. But this is Josh's first film. And he's written a script about a man coming out of prison trying to reestablish his life. And it's very specifically at the beginning of that process, which is chaotic, and he has great spirit, and I'm going to get this done. He's living with his mom. He's trying to, you know, figure out how to put together an enterprise so he'll have some income. And this character is played by the great Andre Royo, who everybody in Baltimore will know and love from The Wire, playing Bubbles, who was also trying to figure out an enterprise to sustain life, but in a very different way. And the whole
issue of reentry after prison, very, very hot topic in the mayoral campaign.
Yeah.
This is the first year in which ex-felons were given the right to vote. It was easier to get to the, you know, to be able to cast a ballot. It took a shorter period of time than it used to.
Well, we're sadly the most incarcerated nation on the planet, so this is a real issue for America. And and this is a humorous, I don't want to get too dark on this thing, because there's huge amounts of humor, great humanity in this film. And this performance, Andre has already, it premiered at South by Southwest, and he won an acting award there. This is going to get lots of notice for this performance. The whole cast is great, and Andre will be here, and some of the cast, and Josh,
yeah.
too. So we're very excited about it.
And Anne Hornaday, as a person who goes to all these festivals, this is a first-time director being sort of the featured film at the Maryland Film Festival. That's got to be a huge boost to the career and to the exposure that this artist gets.
Absolutely. It reminds me of last year when Khalik Allah came here. Mm. He had been sort of discovered off of YouTube with this extraordinary movie that he did, this essay film. And he just came to George Mason University, and we had a screening together, and he visited with the students there. He was actually he's one of the cinematographers on that Beyonce, the Lemonade project that she did last year. So, I mean, clearly his life has been impacted in ways he just never even, I just don't think you can ever really, can never prepare, you know, for what this kind of festival circuit can do. And I think what Maryland can do for these emerging filmmakers, like I said earlier, I mean, it's sort of intimate and I don't want to say small in a kind of pejorative way, but it's just truly supportive
and can get up close and personal.
And it can be sustained,
it's
not just the kind of come and show your film and get out of here,
right. And Lauren, is that your experience? I mean, you're an alum of the festival, you and Zach both have been here before, you know the vibe, you know how it works, but what does this mean to you as a filmmaking artist?
It's so supportive to come to this festival. I never want to miss this festival. I think being on the festival circuit, Maryland Film Festival, is like the top priority for a filmmaker to come here, and to be with other filmmakers and to you know, just hang out with other filmmakers and have no pressure in terms of what we've been saying about, you know, having to sell your film or distribute your movie while you're here. It's mostly just a celebration of film and filmmakers, and that's why we love coming here as filmmakers.
So there are, Zach Clark, some film festivals that really the emphasis is on getting a distributor, getting maybe a producer for your next film or something like that, but that's less the deal here. I mean, it's more really about the art that you're showing.
Yeah, no, I always say that you meet other filmmakers at Sundance and South by Southwest, but you make friends at the Maryland Film Festival, and it's really true. Like, I've met so many wonderful people here who I've worked with on subsequent things because we forged actual friendships, specifically here and, you know, on the festival circuit in general. And yeah, it really is. This is a highlight for the year, every year for me.
That's good. I'm about to break into the Barney theme, you know. I love you, you love me. It's the family of filmmakers here.
That's the vibe.
That's really great. Anne Hornaday, we just got a couple of minutes left in this segment. Tell us what are the big picks on your list for the festival this weekend.
Oh, there's so many. I'm really intrigued. I really want to see Chevalier by Rahil Sangari. She's an old friend and contact from my days in Austin. She did a wonderful movie a few years ago called Attenberg. I'm just incredibly, I love her work, and I'm very intrigued by that. I can't wait to see Little Men by Ira Sachs, who did Love is Strange a couple of years ago. I can't wait to see Collective Unconscious, by the way, and Little Sister. But to me, the great kind of sign of a great festival is complete and utter frustration when they put four or five wonderful seeming movies at the same time. And so today is a great example of that. They have Nuts, Camera Person, Life Animated, Kate Plays Christine, and No Home Movie. These are all movies I am dying to see. And in their diabolical genius, they've scheduled them against each other, which is terrific, because it means that we're all spoiled for choice, and you almost can't go wrong.
Yeah, a surfeit of riches. That's great. Jed, I want to talk a little bit about the shorts, which Lauren and Zach hosted on Wednesday night. This is a longstanding tradition of the Maryland Film Festival. You begin with shorts. And, of course, shorts being what they are, they're not full-length motion pictures, have a very limited opportunity to be seen other than in festivals. And you really make a big deal about shorts throughout the whole festival.
Yeah, and we'll, once we get the Parkway open, we'll have more opportunity to honor shorts. And the program that Zach and Lauren hosted beautifully is just an example of how much creative energy is in this part of the movie art form that is not really, or I guess it's available in some ways to audiences through iTunes and stuff, but very hard to find and dig through and find. And one sort of example of this collaborative thing that we've taken hold of and take very seriously as our duty in the film community is there's a short in the festival this year from a student from MICA who, Chris Swanberg, another filmmaker, was here in the fall, who'd had a film in the festival last year. And she saw the script and mentioned it to me, and we followed up, and they submitted it to the festival, and it's an unbelievably great film called Eden.
Eden, yeah. So, and of course, if you miss the shorts on Wednesday night, you still have other opportunities to see them through the course of the weekend, right? Aren't they
Shorts are not usually sprinkled through, although...
But there are other shorts sprinkled through.
Many shorts. So we have, and one of the opening night shorts is just been, we're going to put it on a screen called Soy Cubana, and it's going to be on a screen of Shoe Day today.
Right. That's this morning around 11 o'clock. All right. So we got more coming up. You're listening to a special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. Jed Dietz joins me here in the studio along with the filmmakers Lauren Waldstein and Zach Clark. Anne Hornaday is a film critic for The Washington Post. She's joining us on the phone from Washington. I'm Tom Hall. We'll have more on the Maryland Film Festival after a break for news.
Is there an issue that you'd like to see us cover? Let us know. You can email us at mdmorning@wypr.org, or you can leave us a voicemail. Just call 410-881-3162. Visit us on the web to leave comments or to hear previous episodes. That's all at wypr.org/Maryland Morning. Now, on with the show.
And And welcome back. If you're just joining us, I'm Tom Hall. This is a special edition of the Maryland Morning Movie Mayhem. We're talking about the Maryland Film Festival with the festival founder and director Jed Dietz, who joins me in the studio. Anne Hornaday is the award-winning film critic for the Washington Post. She joins us on the phone from Washington, and I'm delighted to welcome to Studio A another of the filmmakers whose work is featured in this, the 18th annual Maryland Film Festival. Marilyn Ness, good morning and welcome.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
I'm glad you're here. So, Marilyn, tell us about, you've got two, not one, but two movies here. These are docs. The first one is Camera Person. I'm very intrigued by this movie. What's it about?
Camera Person is an unusual memoir made by a cinematographer who's been working in documentaries for 25 years, who went back to reflect on what it means to film and be filmed using the raw footage of the film she shot over 25 years.
Yeah, so this is a person who's worked with people like Laura Poitras and several others. Her name is Kristen Johnson.
So an alum of the festival. She's brought several of these films here, and she's been here a number of times. Yeah. She's extraordinary.
So this is like outtakes and stuff that she's shot in addition to the actual docs that she's been shooting over a very long and interesting career. So this is kind of cinematographer's diary almost, I guess.
It is in many ways. I mean, this she starts the film by saying these are the stories that have marked her in some way. And so the film was actually born of failure. She had tried to make another film, and the person withdrew their permission at the 11th hour. And she thought, how on earth did I miss that? And it made her go back and question all of the decisions she had made over time in the field. And so really opens herself up, I think, in an incredibly brave way to explore what it means to bring a camera into the world and ask people to be part of what you're making.
Mm-hmm. And you're producing this film. Here on Maryland Morning, we have Rob Sivek and Bridget Armstrong and Kathleen Cahill, who are the producers of our program. I have no idea what those people do. I mean, none. it's a mystery to me. So what does a film producer really do? You see producer, executive producer, co-producer, associate producer. I mean, really, finally, I'm meeting an actual film producer. All these years, I've wondered, what do you people do for a living?
Yes, it's a variety of things that could go anywhere from therapy to financing. But in this case, I kind of considered myself a midwife of the
therapy
film.
To finance. I love that.
Therapy is a big one in producing, I have to say. It's half my job.
And sometimes for the financial people.
Exactly. Everybody needs therapy. And so with Kristen's film, I think we were never entirely sure what she was trying to make. And so my job was to enable her to make whatever it was we decided to make. So I sort of get ahead of the director sometimes and anticipate what they need even before maybe they know they need it. And if I've done my job right, the creative has no idea what I just did for them.
Right. It's like, you know, as a conductor, I always used to say when you're conducting a concerto, you have to make the soloist feel like it's going exactly the way she wants it, even though it's not even close to
right.
It's my job to simply make her feel like, oh, yes, we're playing it your way.
Absolutely. Exactly.
Your other film is about a very controversial and loaded topic, a topic that's been controversial and loaded for decades. The film is called Trapped, and it's about abortion rights.
It is. So director Dawn Porter had been in Mississippi and realized there was only one clinic left in the whole state of Mississippi and thought to herself, how could that be? And so she began to dig into what are TRAP laws, targeted regulation of abortion providers, these laws that are being passed in states across the country that just chip away at the access to abortion in a variety of ways that has sort of made Roe v. Wade irrelevant in some states. And so we actually were following, there's a case before the Supreme Court now, and we followed that case among others, wound up hitting the one that went to the Supreme Court, trying to figure out how it is these TRAP laws are being passed.
So Trapped is going to be screened tonight at 7:30 and then again on Sunday afternoon at 2 o'clock. And Camera Person, the one that follows Kristen Johnson's work, that's going to be this afternoon, Friday afternoon today at 4:35 and then Sunday morning over at the Single Carrot Theater. Anne Hornaday, the art form of documentary continues to become more and more important, not just to the filmmaking world, but to the world of information and news, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, this is visual storytelling. You know, we're surrounded by visual storytelling on the web and on sites like my own news site. I mean, people are really experimenting with new forms of relaying narratives. Now we even see virtual reality coming into play. And I think it's a fascinating conversation that filmmakers are having with journalists in terms of what we all do and what the differences are between journalism and nonfiction filmmaking. And I personally, I I always sort of recoil just a little bit when a documentarian calls himself a journalist, if only just because I think that serves to kind of blur the lines. You know, what we need is more clarity about point of view and who's telling the story and what they're leaving out, and that's true on both sides. But I really do want to preserve that kind of that space for documentarians to be artists.
Exactly, Jed Dietz. We got about 10 seconds left. What will make this festival a success in your eyes?
Lots of people coming to see lots of wonderful films.
Yeah, and so far, you're off to a very good start of achieving all of those things.
Yeah.
All right. Well, Marilyn Ness, good to meet you. And Mr. Dietz, always a pleasure, sir. And
thanks,
break
Tom.
A leg for the rest of the weekend.
Thanks so
Jed
much.
Dietz is the executive director of the Maryland Film Festival. Ann Hornaday is the film critic for the Washington Post. Thank you, Ann. We'll see you soon.
Thank you.
Filmmaker Marilyn Ness is the producer of two films in this year's festival, Trapped and Camera Person. The 18th annual Maryland Film Festival continues through Sunday night. And we've got a link to the schedule and venues of all of the films. Come on over to WIPR.org/Maryland Morning. I'm Tom Hall. Stay with us. Before we go today, we pause to remember public servants who lost their lives in the line of duty in the last 12 months. Police officer Noah Liotta of the Montgomery County Police Department died in December when he was struck by a drunk driver during a traffic stop. Senior Deputy Patrick Daly and Deputy First Class Mark Logsdon of the Harford County Sheriff's Office were shot and killed in February by a man who was wanted by police. Detective Ja'Kai Colson of the Prince George's County Police Department died in March as he responded to an active shooter situation in front of a police station. This afternoon at 1 o'clock at Delaney Valley Memorial Gardens, the 31st annual Fallen Heroes Day takes place, at which these officers will be remembered. We thank them for their service, and on this day, we remember all victims of violence with condolences to their families. That's our show for today. On Monday, the public interest lawyer and activist Brian Stevenson on ending the death penalty and rooting out racism in the criminal justice system, plus Vivi Etemeh, a Baltimore student who's featured in a new biopic about Nina Simone, and theater critic J. Wynn Russick reviews the area premiere of Disgraced at Arena Stage. Maryland Morning is a production of Your Public Radio, WIPR, in Baltimore. It's produced by the daughters of Paula Armstrong, Nancy Cahill, and Jocelyn Ferguson. Our senior producer is the son of Doris Sivak. Marjorie Sterner's son runs the board. We're grateful to the son of Mary Walton Sandoz Taka for filling in as our director and engineer a couple of times this week. Coffee for our guests provided by the son of Nancy Rhodes. He's the owner of Zeke's Coffee. You can find them online at zekescoffee.com. Margaret Northam's son wrote and recorded the Maryland Morning theme music. Thanks for listening. I'm Rosemary Hall's kid, wishing my mom and all moms a happy Mother's Day. Have a great weekend.